Welcome to Space and Development Seminar Series after our first reading week ever. So I'm sure you've all been reading Foucault Lecture Series all last week in preparation for today's talk. Stuart Alden, who is professor of political theory and human geography at University of Warwick. Very pleased to have him here to talk to us today. Many of you will know about Stuart, so I'm not going to say an awful lot, and it will be off the top of my head, but I did check for his PhD. His PhD at Brunel University, and it was in political theory. He worked on Heidegger and Foucault, and so Foucault's work has been a thread running all the way through his career. He's also worked on Henri Lefebvre, both writing on him and translating him, working on translations through most of his career as well. And we were just talking earlier about how many Lefebvre-related projects and Stuart has been recently involved in as well. As most of you will know, for a long time he was working at the University of Durham. An unusual move for a geography department to hire someone who's a political theorist, which it really seems to have worked, and I know Stuart really enjoyed becoming a geographer. during this time, you'll also know that he helped transform at least part of human geography through his editorship of Environment and Planning, the Society and Space, which is a much different journal now, I think, from how it was when I first looked at it in the 1980s. He's written about Foucault, he's written about Heidegger, he's written about Peter Sloterdijk. He's published in 2013 a book which is doing very well through University of Chicago Press called The Birth of Territory, which looks at the formation of the concept of territory up to around about the 15th, 16th century.
17th.
Related to this, he has also been writing, some of you will know, about Shakespeare. So Stuart's thinking is moving in all sorts of different directions, but the Shakespeare work seems to be mostly related to concepts of territory. So today, he's going to talk to us about Foucault's collaborative projects, hospitals, habitat, public infrastructure, and without more ado, Stuart, go ahead. He'll talk until about 5, and then we'll have some discussion.
Okay. Thank you very much. I gave a talk here a couple of years ago, so it's nice to be back. Thank you for inviting me back. I'm going to talk about work that comes out of two books that I've been working on, Foucault's Last Decade, which is in press. I've got the proofs with me here, so it really is in press. It's going to come out probably in April next year. And I'm going to say little bits about work that's in that book, but mainly I'm going to talk about this second book, which is getting closer to being completed, called Foucault, The Birth of Power. The mock-up title's actually got that wrong. But that's looking at a slightly earlier period of Foucault. So the Foucault's Last Decade looks at 1974 to 1984, and this book looks at roughly the period from around 69 to 74. If we look at a timeline of Foucault's work in that period, that 15-year period, from when he returned from teaching in Tunisia, first took a post at Vincennes University and then took the prestigious chair at the College de France, in that time until his death in 1984, we have five books that are published, so some of the colours are better than the red on here. And most of the text is white on black, so it should be visible for most of this. But I wanted to have different colours to show different parts of the work. So we have, from 1969, The Archaeology of Knowledge, 1975, Discipline and Punish, History of Sexuality 1 in 1976, and then right at the end of his life, History of Sexuality 2 and 3. Foucault then, in the years after his death, has been more prolific than most of us while we are alive. In 1994... Dear Cree, a four-volume French collection of shorter writings and lectures, journalism, political activism, but also the formal articles and chapters that Foucault did. And these were, in the French edition, are organised chronologically by date of publication. The English in the Essential Works collection has done a thematic selection and has only chosen a fraction of the material, but the French gives a very good idea of what happened in between the kind of the major milestones of the books that Foucault published. Over the last several years, forgive the slides, this is not working with the colour in this room, I don't think.
Put the lights down.
Yeah. Put the lights down just for this one, and then I think the rest of it should be visible. The lecture courses from the Collège de France have now all been published in French. There's still a couple to come in English. But quickly, lectures on the will to know, penal theories, institutions, punitive society, psychiatric power, the abnormal, society must be defended, security church population, birth and biopolitics, government of the living, subjectivity and truth, the hermeneutic of the subject, government of the self and others, and the courage of truth. And we now have all of those in French, there's just two to come out in English, that give a really rich sense of what Foucault was doing on a weekly basis for the months that he was teaching those courses. And we can see the introduction of ideas that then appear in the books at later points, but also a lot of work that doesn't find a finished form in any of the written books. There are also some lecture courses that he gave elsewhere, some of which have been published. So the Truth in Juridical Forms lectures from Rio in 1973, some important lectures on medicine in Rio again, but in 1974, and I'll say a little bit more about those later. And then towards the end of his life, the Wrongdoing Truth-Telling lectures at Louvain in Belgium, the Technologies of the Self seminar that he gave at Vermont in the US, and the Fearless Speech lectures on Parisia that he gave in Berkeley in 1983. But there are also, and this is what I'm going to talk about today, a number of works where Foucault was either a co-author, a collaborator, or the editor, the facilitator of research projects. I'll say a bit about the Pierre Rivière collection later, the Equipement de Pouvoir volume that he was a contributor to, a genealogy of equipments of normalization, which I'll say much more about later, two editions of a book called La Machine à Guérir, Curing Machines, about the modern hospital, Politics of Habitat, an edited volume, people don't know about this, that Foucault did. The Herculean Barbin memoir, which I won't talk about. And then in 1982, the only co-authored book that he produced, The Disorder de Famille, or Family Disorder, co-authored with the historian Alette Farge. And this is finally going to come out in English translation with University of Minnesota Press. And then the last elements that I'm going to add into that is the political activism of the early 1970s, where he worked with a prison information group and then a health information group, a group Information Santé. And the prison group is reasonably well known, but most people don't know anything about the health group, so I'm going to say a very little bit about that as well today. So this is a kind of chronology to try and show how, from the major works, the books, how much other work was going on, the sort of the layers of Foucault's work that are slowly being revealed over the last several years. That political activism forms something of a context to this work. Just maybe briefly say something about that health information group. People know about the prison information group, where Foucault and his colleagues worked with prisoners and with prisoner families to try and publicise what was going on inside of prisons. They made the point of saying, it's not for us to try and suggest the reforms, we just simply want to allow the French public to know what is actually going on inside of prisons. So they would circulate information to that prisoners had themselves produced inside of prisons and try and get that into the public realm. The health information group, which I think directly links to some of the academic work I'm going to talk about later today, is an interesting one. There's not much known about it, and Foucault's involvement is not always entirely clear, but this was a group that worked around things such as workplace medicine, so industrial accidents and people getting things like silicosis from the work they were doing in factories, health related to immigration, very actively involved in the campaign for abortion rights within France, and the general worry that they had that doctors had power that was being exercised through their profession that they wanted to try and disrupt and get more information out there. And the abortion work is something I've become particularly interested in, and Foucault's peripheral but still important involvement with the group around those abortion rights. But that's a topic for another time. Because Foucault's collaborative model of working, which people acknowledge when they look at the activism, was also something that he did in much of his academic work. It wasn't just, I think, confined to the streets, to the meeting halls or the gatherings that he held in his apartment. It characterised quite a lot of the work that he was doing in the seminar room, in the archive, and in collaborative writing. Now, the first seminar that he was involved in at the Collège de France, so he gave these lecture courses, these are the ones that have been published over the last several years, but alongside that, he ran a research seminar. Now, he initially tried to restrict who could come to the research seminar, trying to get the people that were genuinely interested in this, trying to get people that were going to actively contribute to the work, but the college authorities told him that he couldn't do this, and he had to open them up to everybody. And there were a series of tussles with Foucault and the Collège de France authorities about how he can actually run an effective seminar that allows him to get work done, rather than basically running a second lecture course, which was the thing he was most concerned with, if the seminars became open to everybody in this sense. Now, some of what Foucault did in his seminars we know from the Foucault Effect book that was published in 1991 that collects a number of contributions by people that were in Foucault's seminar, some of the papers they presented in that seminar. But the first product of the Collège de France seminar was this case of Pierre Rivière. Pierre Rivière was a Normandy peasant, a young man who had killed his mother, his brother, and his sister because he didn't like the way that they had treated his father. And an illiterate, they thought, peasant boy was arrested for this crime, and while in prison, just before he was executed, wrote a long memoir explaining what he had done. So I, Pierre Rivière, having murdered my mother, sister, and brother, is the beginning of that narrative. Now, Foucault and his colleagues discovered it first in a 19th century journal article, and then they actually found that in Caen, in Normandy, that the entire memoir still existed. So Foucault sent one of his colleagues, Jean-Pierre Piter, to go and find this memoir, and they didn't just find the memoir, they found all of the medical reports, all of the psychiatric reports, all of the criminal reports that went on. And so in this book, they published what they called a dossier of evidence to sit alongside this case, and with some interpretive essays that they wrote in the seminar over the next couple of years. And the work that they did was enabled by this man, Jean-Pierre Piter, who did a lot of that archival work. And what I think is interesting is we know the story of the Pierre Rivière case fairly well, but he also published some other articles that picked on cases that they discovered in these old early 19th century psychiatric journals, and that he presented a number of these in publications, and these are some of the cases that Foucault uses in some of his later lecture courses. It's there in the notes, and if you kind of know what you're doing with the notes, or if you follow up where the notes in the collected courses are, you'll see that Foucault's work is enabled by some of the things that went on in his seminars in preceding years. So he was using people to, not exclusively, but he was using some people to help generate the work that he commented on in those later lecture courses. Now, Piter is kind of interesting because he tells the story of the Pierre Rivière course. He calls the people that descended on this course when the Collège de France authorities opened it up as a vampire horde of knowledge consumers. He said that they just turned up with their tape recorders and that there were then transcripts of these sessions being circulated. And he actually tells the story that he was worried that somebody was going to preempt them and they were actually going to publish transcripts of the seminar, and this is one of the things that hurried the publication of that book on Pierre Rivière itself, because they wanted to get it out there before this stuff circulated. This is even before, you know, the internet and modern ways of disseminating this stuff, but there were various tapes circulating. This is where a lot of the courses have come from, is the tapes that were made at the time and that were circulating privately have now been the ones that have become part of the authorised edition of these courses. Now, these are some of the works that Foucault and colleagues produced over the next several years, and I'll talk about most of these in more detail over a moment. These are some of those books in that line I said were the collaborative or the edited volumes that Foucault was involved in, because Foucault wasn't just doing this work at the Collège de France, and increasingly it seemed he got frustrated with the way he had to work at the Collège de France and was doing things outside of it to try and produce these collaborative environments that he was interested in working in. And one group that he became particularly interested in working with was a group around Félix Guattari. Félix Guattari had set up a clinic and then a research institute around that clinic, the Centre d'études de recherche et formation institutionnelle, or CERFI for short, and their house journal Recherche, you can see one of the issues of the journal up there in the top right, had produced some of these collaborative works that Foucault got involved in, and then this led to them getting money to do further research around some of these topics. And other people involved, as well as Guattari, Gilles Deleuze, many of you may know as the philosopher of the same generation as Foucault, but also a figure called François Fourquet, who worked with Foucault and Deleuze and Guattari on some of these projects. And they produced, this was the first of the things that Foucault was involved with this group. It was initially the whole issue 13 of this journal that produced a focused study on what they called les équipements de pouvoir, equipments of power, but by equipments they mean something like kind of collective utilities or public infrastructure, the kinds of things that are not privately owned but enable a number of things within a society, public utilities. And they talk about roads as one of these collective equipments in their terms to think about that. And then, and this is the nature of a lot of this work, what was supposed to be the appendix to this volume became so long that they ended up publishing it as a whole issue on its own of the journal, which was written by François Fourquet, which was trying to pull out some of the thematic themes from that work. So first of all, there's a Kipman de Pouvoir, then later issued as a book, and then the historical ideal is the follow-up to that. And these were a set of research projects of which Foucault was involved peripherally at the beginning, but then takes on more and more of an active role as this work develops. It's an attempt to look at things such as towns, town planning, territorial management, which is a slightly broader sense than how we'd understand territorial management in English. It's to do with spatial planning within the French state and what the French state is doing in terms of where transportation networks might be built, in terms of how raw materials might get circulated around the country, in terms of the infrastructure for resource extraction, and so on. And in this, first in this journal issue and then in the book, there are two dialogues that Foucault is involved with where they're discussing some of these themes. Now those two dialogues, the only part where Foucault is directly involved, are available in English in the Foucault Live collection, but they're in the reverse order without that being noted, and they're decontextualised of any sense of why they might be discussing these themes. It's really a commentary that Deleuze, Guattari, Foucault and Fourquet are having around the themes that had been elaborated in the other parts of this volume. So they're interested in these questions around these kind of public amenities or the infrastructure. They're interested in questions around circulation, the flow of people, goods and capital within societies. They're interested in the way these are not quite means of production in a Marxist sense, but they enable production, or they enable the circulation of the things that have been produced within a society. That the town is, in their terms, just one of these collective equipments that they're interested in thinking about there. They're interested in the relation between power and territory, and they say this isn't really trying to displace or trying to replace the Marxist analysis, but it's more trying to displace it. It's trying to push it in a different direction, to look at a different angle on the same kind of questions that they're working on. And the notion of the genealogy in there, clearly relating to what Foucault and Deleuze, both at the same time, were reading Nietzsche and thinking about Nietzsche as a model of historical inquiry. And some of those same themes are coming through in this work around there. And all sorts of Foucauldian themes are explicit in these works. The use of the panopticon, Jeremy Bentham's design for a prison and a workhouse and a factory and so on. The relation of power and knowledge, surveillance, control of population, normalization of individuals and so on. But these texts first date from 1973, which is before many of those themes had actually appeared in Foucault's own work. Discipline and Punish appears in 1975. So what I think is clear from this is it's not simply a one-way influence that Foucault has developed all of these ideas that this team is then putting into practice. This was used as a team that I think was genuinely generating ideas that were useful for all of them in their research, some of which appears in books with just Foucault's name, but other appears in these collective and collaborative works that they were doing at this time. And they also, I think, which is interesting given the way that Anglophone debates have moved much later, in this work they actually reference Henri Lefebvre's writings and think about how you could put somebody like Lefebvre, they also mention Manuel Castells, also the Annales school of historians, people like Braudel, how you might bring these together in an analysis. Now, I'm often asked the question about Foucault and Lefebvre, given that I've worked on both of them. They hated each other. Foucault, to my knowledge, and it's a fairly thorough knowledge, only mentions Lefebvre once, and it's an incredibly dismissive throwaway line that clearly shows he hasn't read Lefebvre, because nobody who had read Lefebvre could think that. There are many ways to criticise Lefebvre, but this isn't one of them. He says, oh, he's just one of these standard Marxists who just talks about the first parts of Capital and doesn't go anything beyond that. Whatever else you think of Lefebvre, that isn't what Lefebvre does. Lefebvre was always incredibly critical of Foucault. He talks about him quite a lot, but he's always incredibly critical of him. The main place he talks about him is his book on the state, where he says, you know, all this stuff that Foucault talks about all these people being disciplined and being imprisoned and why are they doing this? And Lefebvre says, well, the answer is they're being put to the interest or to the service of capital. And he says that Foucault evacuates this whole critical reason for why these things are happening. I think actually Foucault's lecture courses show a slightly different take on some of those questions that's maybe a reply to those criticisms. But I think that the fact that Foucault and Lefebvre were seen as poles apart, and then it took people in the 1980s, particularly in Anglophone geography, Ed Soger being one of them, to bring Foucault and Lefebvre into some kind of dialogue with each other. But I think it's taking place in the work of people like François Fourquet back in the 1970s, which I think is an interesting juxtaposition. I'm not going to say huge amounts about all of these because there's a lot of works that I want to try and give this this survey on of the kind of issues that they're interested in around that. But Foucault is interested in a number of the questions in here about how the town works. You might call that the town machine, or I mean, now we'd call an ordinateur a computer, but in the early 1970s it had much more of a mechanical sense, I think, than a straightforward sort of software model of a computer that we'd understand today. But they're interested in these questions about how space at various scales, down from the household to buildings to town planning to the whole management of the space of a state, how these kinds of questions are put into practice and organised. Now, this was far from the end of the project, and one of the sources that I'm drawing on, as well as these reports and books and documents that I've got the photographs of, are the archives that are held in Normandy, where a number of papers relating to these collaborative projects, particularly relating to Guattari's group Cerfi, are archived. And the plan that they had, following from that initial preliminary volume on what they called Les Equipements de Pouvoir, was that they were then going to put these themes into practice with a number of empirical studies that were going to be led by different people within this team. Now, those projects were supported by the French state. I still find this interesting that people like Deleuze and Foucault could get large amounts of money from the French state to do research on these kinds of topics. They got about €1 million. Now, by my calculation, that's something like 800,000 euros on today's money. That's enough to support a team for a few years to do research on these kinds of projects. And it seems that they were just given money without much say and much accountability about, but all of the material that they produced is available in the archives, so I've been able to reconstruct some of the work that they were doing around these kinds of questions. The one that Foucault clearly doesn't deliver on is this urban planning one, unfortunately. There is a volume of people associated with his project that's very much on that theme, but Foucault seems to have had no involvement with that. And it led to a number of reports that were published initially by Cerfi, and then some of them were republished as issues of the Recherche Journal, or some of them in the house publishing series called Encre, that were published by the Cerfi Institute. And of these three volumes that come out of this research, the one that I'm going to focus on is the one that Foucault is known as the editor, which is on the genealogy of what they call equipments of normalization, or ways of normalizing through society, sanitary equipments, particularly to do with health and public health campaigns. Foucault seems, as far as I can tell, to have had little to do with the volume that Anne Kerrion wrote on the primary school, or on François Fourquet's study of accounting statistics and how these were used by states as a mechanism of government. So in this volume, the one that is under the direction of Foucault, again, it seems to me that only a part of that has genuinely got any kind of Foucauldian input and involvement, which is this first part, just the first 80 pages. It's basically three reports bound together in this volume. Now, the first part of that is a fairly well-known essay by Foucault called The Politics of Health in the 18th Century. It was first published in this report, but then was reprinted a couple of times in French and has been translated into English. But then what I found very interesting is the next 60-70 pages of this volume is an unsigned text by the team that is around Foucault, looking at a whole set of questions around hospitals, around public health, urban medicine, urban ways of thinking about a city and the health campaigns in the city, and so on. So only one text is signed by Foucault, but the rest of it is clearly on themes that he was interested in around that. It's never been republished in French, and it's certainly not translated into English. And I think it's an interesting text for expanding what Foucault is talking about in quite small sort of snapshot form in those first pages in this essay that's the one that has been anthologized in various versions. What they put forward in this work is this idea of what they call a machina gyria. The hospital is a curing machine. It is something that doesn't simply cure because of the activities that take place within it, but through its architectural design, it can actually help to facilitate the curing process. So this could be to do with the spatial organisation in terms of simple architecture, the layout of rooms, the routes of passage, how do you get clean and dirty things in and out of rooms, and the circulation of these goods and objects within a hospital. It can be to do with the circulation of air and water and other services, the cleaning and washing. All of these things and the way the hospital is designed become part of the curing process itself, is the proposal here. So the architectural concerns would directly impact on the space of the sick body. The location of the hospital within the wider environment is also studied in this. Where do you put hospitals in relation to towns? What do you do with, for example, all of the laundry? The laundry of French hospitals used to be washed in the River Seine, which people would also use for drinking water or for cleaning. You know, the circulation of diseases that could happen through processes such as this. So then you get this build-up, and they try and study this in the 18th century of people trying to say that the architectural space and the town planning of how you situate hospitals has a direct impact on the process of medicine itself. How did this take place? So there's a lot of work in here that looks at things like architectural drawing, town planning proposals, and so on. They're interested, and this is important because this anticipates a number of themes that Foucault would develop elsewhere, they're interested not simply in the health of the individual body, but the health of the collective body, i.e. of the population. So they're interested not just in the health of a sick person, but in public health campaigns much more generally. And some of this work developed in some of the later work they do around things such as cholera epidemics. Now, the project that I think is the closest to that urban project that Foucault is supposed to lead, but didn't, I think, have any direct involvement in, comes in this book on the politics of Parisian space. And that book, and the one I've just been saying a little bit about, feed into what was a much more mainstream publication. These are really reports rather than formal books, quite hard to find copies of today. This one is a much more widely circulated book, and it takes that idea of the curing machine as its title, to look at what they call the origin of the modern hospital. Now, the 1976 edition is then replaced by, again, a much better circulated version in 1979, and these two versions look superficially very similar. They're actually quite different in a number of ways. The 76 edition begins with that essay by Foucault that was in the previous report, and then has a number of chapters that are now all with named authors of the people in that research team. The 1979 edition has a piece with exactly the same title, but it's actually quite a different version of that essay by Foucault. And then all of the other essays in there are revised to a greater or lesser extent. And with Bruno Fortier's essay in this edition is on the architecture of the hospital, and this one is an entirely different essay on the idea of, he said, of the military camp and the inverse fortress, the idea that like a fortress is there to defend from what without, that the hospital is to defend within. All of the mechanisms that the military use get turned inwards inside the space of a hospital in terms of surveillance, in terms of regulation of movement, and so on. So a number of themes that are developed in now these named essays by these authors that come out of that initial unnamed essay that's in that initial report that they produced out of this research work. And a whole set of issues that I think provide large amounts of empirical detail to back up many of the claims that Foucault makes in the essays that are much better known, both in French and in English, in terms of these questions. These are people that are doing genuinely empirical historical work to look into these questions, whereas Foucault is often providing really a kind of a theoretical survey overview to introduce a volume. What we tend to do, though, is to read only that piece by Foucault, and we miss the depth of the engagement that he and his colleagues were doing in those kind of questions. And they do provide also some quite detailed documentary evidence to go alongside this. There's a whole set of plans that are reproduced in the volume, a whole set of documentary traces to connect these kinds of questions. Then a related report that Foucault edited entitled The Politics of Habitat came out in 1977 has a very brief unsigned foreword of just two pages and then it has a sequence of essays, and some of those names are familiar from the previous work. And this is going from looking at the hospital to looking at the wider environment or habitat within which these kinds of campaigns are interested in. So Vlaanderen Barrett Kriegel, for example, writes about cholera epidemics and different ways that cholera is becomes an object of governance. It becomes something that governments are supposed to do something about, what kinds of mechanisms and strategies are done to make sense of that. How do you improve the condition of housing? For example, in some of the later essays there about workers' housing, about slum housing, about the kind of projects that are done around those issues. And so in that, the foreword, the unsigned foreword, which I suspect Foucault had at least some hand in writing, even if he wasn't the only author of that, looking at themes, he says, or they say, medicine, hygiene, architecture, civil engineering, the social sciences, and jurisdiction. If you're going to look at these questions around health and public health, you need to broaden out the range of disciplines that you use to examine those questions. And I think, I mean, a number of things seem to me to be interesting around this, apart from that empirical detail that's often said to be lacking in Foucault's own work that's done by many of his colleagues. But there's a number of other things. One is that they're much less critical and negative than a lot of Foucault's work around this. They recognise that some of these things did actually improve the lot of the working classes, for example, or that something like a cholera epidemic prevention strategy is actually something that can have some kind of social benefit, whereas often Foucault's work is looked at in that very negative kind of way around those kinds of questions. But I think it's interesting in terms of the way that this team, and it's a very interdisciplinary team of historians, of architects, of geographers and others, that come together to do this work and these collaborative things that they're funded to do these kind of questions. There's also, I found just a proposal for this, as far as I can tell, it never actually got anywhere. There was a project that they did on the green spaces of Paris, where they were looking at things like urban parks, and suggesting that Paris was quite a different city from other cities because so many dwellings don't have their own gardens, and so parks or some of the forests on the periphery of Paris take on a greater role in terms of providing people access to an open space rather than a fully urbanised environment. But as far as I can tell, that only got to proposal stage. I've not found any outputs from that. Now, taking all of these together, I think what these do is provide a kind of an additional layer or additional element to the work that Foucault had done on health back in the 1960s. In this book, The Birth of the Clinic, first published in 1963. And in that book, the opening line of the book says this is a book about space, about language, and about death. It is about the gaze. Then Foucault in the book proposes what he calls the three modes or forms of spatialization that he's going to interrogate. The first one is, how is the disease located in kind of taxonomies of disease? How do you understand a disease in relation to other diseases? How would you scientifically map or locate this disease? The second one is, how does the disease fix itself in the body of the sick person, the patient, free of any group gaze in the hospital experience itself? How might you open up bodies in order to understand the roots of the bodies in particular organs or other parts of the body? And the third one that they suggest, or Foucault suggests in this book, the way diseases are located in a broader context, the way that it has some kind of social ordering, the way that you would understand the disease and its movement through a social setting more generally. Space really, a scientific classification, the space of corporeal physicality and the space of social ordering. The Birth of the Clinic actually says very little about a third of these. It's nearly all contained with how do you look at the body and discourses around anatomy and how do you look at taxonomies of disease. What I think that this work, at a distance of 10 years, is really doing is much more detail around this third idea of how do you understand the broader social setting or context of health, both in terms of individuals that get sick, but also in terms of these public health campaigns. Now, what I've tried to suggest with all of that is that there is actually relatively little named by Foucault in some of those texts, those reports, those dossiers and so on that I've talked about. But Foucault did give lectures, particularly the lectures in Rio in 1974, where he presented a number of these ideas in work that has appeared under his own name. And Foucault is particularly interested in those lectures of the linking of the hospital to campaigns about public health. These are the lectures, they're not translated in the same place in English, but the three lectures are a series although it has been suggested by Foucault's partner, Daniel Defer, he actually gave more lectures on that course, but in all the archives I've been to, I found no trace of other lectures from that period in Rio. Now, there's a number of themes that those lectures first introduced. These are given in late 1974. This is while Discipline and Punish is in draft. He submits Discipline and Punish in August 74, published in February 75. He gives these lectures while the book is in press. And a number of themes that appear in quite late Foucault, later work in the 1970s, first appear in these Rio lectures on medicine. But all of them, it seems to me, are drawing on and then feeding into this collaborative work that he's working on with colleagues at that time. Particularly this idea that he introduces here of biohistory and then the notion of biopolitics. This is the first place I found in Foucault where he talks about that theme, of thinking about how you can understand the question of life more generally and the politics or the practices that are done towards taking life as the object of those practices or procedures. And he elaborates about how this becomes tied to mechanisms within capitalism. So he suggests that capitalism started by socialising the first object, the body, as a factor of productive force of labour power. Society's control over individuals accomplished not only through the consciousness or ideology, but also in the body and with the body. So that for the capitalist society, it was the biopolitics, the biological, the somatic, the corporeal, which mattered more than anything else. The body as a biopolitical reality, medicine is a biopolitical strategy. And he goes on and elaborates that in many later places in his work, but this is the first place where he introduces those themes. And for me, has to be contextualised with this work he's doing with these research teams back in Paris and with Guattari's group and so on. One of the reasons that Foucault is so interested in the juxtaposition of clinical medicine and public health is really the same reason that he's interested in the question of sexuality. It's that what you have there is both something that is directed towards the individual body and the collective body, the question of population. Both in health, moving to public health, but sexuality of the individual body, but also sexuality in things like birth statistics in terms of diseases. These are two ways of thinking about bodies in singular and bodies in plural, which is one of the reasons I think Foucault gets so interested in those questions. I'm going to close by just briefly mentioning three other collaborative projects that Foucault is involved in a little later. I'm not going to say very much about this one, but it's a book that came out in 1988, so a few years after Foucault died, that gives you the transcripts of the seminars that Foucault gave at the University of Vermont in the northeast of the US in 1982. And these are very different, disconnected from the material I've been talking around. This is when Foucault is turning back to questions in antiquity and early Christianity. But he gives these seminars, and the volume includes a number of essays by people who were participants in these seminars. And he was trying to constitute a kind of research seminar where he shared ideas and people also shared their work in relation to what he was interested in and they were interested in collectively. What I would say a little bit more about is a seminar that he conducted in Belgium in 1981. This text has now been published in both French and in English. These were lectures he gave at the University of Louvain, where he really synthesized a number of things he'd given in Collège de France lectures over the preceding 10 years or so together into thinking about practices of telling the truth about things that had happened in the past. And he draws on material from 1972 lectures right up to 1980 lectures from the Collège de France and synthesizes them into a book around these. What's much less known is that he ran a seminar in parallel to that lecture course, which is on this idea of genealogy of social defense. And I've got an image of the front cover of the book. It's incredibly hard to find the seminar book. The LSE Library is the only place in the UK that I know that there is a copy of this book. Edited by François Tolkien, who was a law professor there, who invited Foucault. And there's no text by Foucault in the book, but it's the proceedings of the people that were working with him in that collaborative seminar. This is the idea, you get this in the course that many of you will know, the Society Must Be Defended course, that society needs to prevent certain types of actions and certain types of people from doing things within that society. And this is around the idea of what they call social defence. It's specifically on Belgium, and it hasn't got a text by Foucault. This probably means this is why there's not many copies in circulation. But this text was a seminar that Foucault was clearly very involved in, and I think it was only Foucault's death, just a couple of years later, that prevented that continuing. The last one I'm going to talk about, some of you may have seen this picture. It's in Didier Erebon's biography of Foucault. He's here, wearing a cowboy hat that the students gave him. This was his farewell dinner before he took the flight back to Paris. This is in late 1983, probably around November. And these largely young, but all men, working with Foucault in a seminar that met in parallel to the Fearless Speech class on Parisia, which has been published in English. It's a lecture on ancient Greek modes of telling the truth and telling the truth to authority quite often. But this group of people, those of whom that are still alive I've managed to speak to work out what they were doing with Foucault in this seminar group that many of them had talked about or alluded to in places. This is Paul Rabanow, who's become an editor of Foucault's work. But Paul Rabanow at the time was a young anthropology professor who organised this group and picked the students to work with Foucault. I have a better picture than this one, which was given to me by David Horn, who swapped out. This is two photos taken, one by David Horn and one by Keith Kendall. And this one, taken just a few minutes later when they swapped the camera. But this group was a group of people that were working with Foucault to try and think about how they might do collective work in parallel to the work that he was doing on antiquity. And the story that they told me was that they were going to do work on the Great War and the interwar period, so the early 20th century, and that they were going to look at four countries, France, Italy, the US, and the USSR. Foucault was going to do the work on France, but David Horn was going to do the work on Italy. Stephen Kopkin, who's become an incredibly distinguished Soviet historian, was going to do the work on the USSR. And Keith Gandor was going to do the work on the US. Now the idea was, and this was the final evening, the idea was that they were going to go away and that the next year when Foucault came back to Berkeley to teach his next class, that they were going to work collectively on this project. This is taken though in late 1983, and Foucault of course dies in June 1984. So Foucault never returns to Berkeley after this photo was taken, so they never do that collective work that they'd envisaged. Although what has become clear by publications and by talking to these people is that most of the work, three quarters of the work, was actually done. The three people that were going to work on the other countries all did the work that they were planning to do with Foucault, and the only part that is missing is the part on France itself. It's all been published as books. So Stephen Kopkin's Magnetic Mountain on Stalinism as a Civilization, David Horn's book Social Bodies, Science, Reproduction and Italian Modernity, and then somewhat later, Keith Gandor, The Gun and the Pen, Hemingway, Fitzgerald, Faulkner, and The Fiction of Mobilization. So that what they produced was the elements of the work that they said that they were going to do with Foucault. And all of them, in the acknowledgments of those books, pay fulsome tribute to this seminar with Foucault and what they learned from that and the collaborative work that they were doing at that time. The other story is that towards the end of his life, Foucault was also planning in his Collège de France work to return to much more contemporary concerns. He'd spent all of these years going further and further back into early Christianity and then Greek and Latin antiquity. But there's many indications that Foucault wanted to turn back to more contemporary concerns. And one of the things he seemed to be interested in was the idea of what he called a socialist or a left governmentality. He makes a comment in the Birth of Biopolitics lectures that one of the problems that the left has had is it doesn't have its own governmental reason or rationality. It doesn't have its own way of approaching these projects, so that when it gains power, it effectively uses liberal models of governance to put things into practice. And this is, he suggests, one of the reasons why the left has always had such problems when it's actually taken power. And as his disillusionment with the François Mitterrand government, elected in 1981, grew, there are stories that Foucault was trying to constitute various working groups to think about this project of a left governmentality. That it didn't exist, maybe it needed to be invented. Was there a group that could actually do some of that work? Now, Didier Erebon, Foucault's biographer, says the plan was that Foucault was going to do a book of interviews with him around this theme. When I talked to Daniel Defer, Foucault's partner, about this, Daniel Defer was incredibly dismissive of that. He says that, he said. But he doesn't actually believe this was the case. What Daniel Defer said was actually happening was a group of people meeting at a hospital in Paris that called themselves the Académie de Tarnier, including the then president of Médecins du Monde, Bernard Kouchner, and some of the Nouveau Philosophes, André Glucksmann and Pascal Bruckner, where they were actually beginning this work, but this was very late in Foucault's life, and this didn't go very far in terms of a project there. The story that Paul Rabinow told me, Paul Rabinow, the anthropology professor, said that when Foucault was going to come back to Berkeley in 1984 to teach, this would have been the seminar that he would have continued, but to teach a class, he was going to do a class on socialist governmentality. Whether that's true or whether that was an idea rather than a genuine plan, as far as I can tell, there's no traces of what might have been done in the archives. But that's the story that people say about this. Okay, so what's the point of me trying to put all of these different elements out there and talk about all of these different books on top of all of the ones that are already out there? The point is not to try and diminish Foucault's work, but it's to suggest that the way that we so often read him and see him as this kind of isolated superstar intellectual working on his own can actually be a bit misleading. Foucault was somebody who clearly was working with a number of other people, people of his own generation, so Deleuze and Guattari, who I've already mentioned, but also some, towards the end of his life, some of the classical historians, people like Peter Brown, Paul Vane, Pierre Hadot, and others. But also that Foucault clearly put a great deal of emphasis on collaborative and collective work, often with students, graduate students, who are much younger, but that he found this as an interesting way of trying to do collective and collaborative work. Jonathan Simon, who's at the back there, who's now a law professor at Berkeley, there's a tape recording of Jonathan Simon and Foucault in conversation where the way that Jonathan Simon described it to me is that basically Foucault was acting as almost like a research supervisor, talking about something that he, Jonathan Simon, was interested in that Foucault hadn't worked on for several years, but that they were sharing ideas about how the US system and the French system looked at the notion of dangerousness. That had been a theme Foucault treated in the 1970s, but the recording is from 1983. We've transcribed this. The plan is that we're going to publish this, hopefully in Theory, Culture and Society. But what Jonathan says is, he said one of the things that he regrets, and he's written this in his introduction, so I'm not betraying the confidence. He says one of the things he regrets is he talks far too much. He says he didn't let Foucault talk. He interrupts him. He kind of throws in other examples. He says, I'm showing off. I'm trying to show that I'm kind of clever and that I know all of these things. And he says, but what you get from Foucault is a genuine interest in what I was interested in, this enabling, facilitating, research supervisor kind of mode. And he said, and I think he's right in this, that there is very little in the published work that gives that indication of how Foucault could be around these. And I think this is a revealing document on those kinds of issues. The tape is in the Berkeley archive of Foucault's materials, but there is now a transcript which we hope will be published hopefully next year. So the idea then is that Foucault is a collaborator, which is clearly an important part which goes through several years and several projects, and there are others beyond the ones I've mentioned today. Hopefully gives a kind of broader sense of how Foucault's work can be situated in relation to these themes, many of which come through in Foucault's solo authored writings, but are often with a lot more detail and depth in this collective collaborative work.